This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. We welcome you in on a Tuesday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out downtown Las Vegas at the D. A lot going on right now. We're about to kick off Denmark and Serbia out in Germany as far as the Euros, and England and Slovenia. So England and Slovenia is fascinating because England, much the better team, much more talent, but just right now they don't have faith in their manager. The squad looks a little upside down, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens with England and Slovenia. France and Poland tied at ones earlier today in a great game against Netherlands and Austria, with Austria winning 3-2. Okay, so that's the soccer. You got Copa America coming up later as well. You got 15 games across Major League Baseball, no day games, so we'll have plenty, three up, three down, coming up on the program. Also coming up today, Mike Randall, the GOAT, FTN Fantasy.com. He's got NBA draft bets for you to make, so always look forward to talking to Randall. Jonathan Bon Tobel, our partner here at VSiN, of course, our senior NBA analyst. We'll talk about the draft with him, talk about free agency, talk about J.J. Redick and more. And then Adam Burke, VSiN.com's managing editor, also one half of the Double Play podcast with the big guy, is going to stop by and tell us what's happening over at VSiN.com, including we've got the NFL guide early and ready for you on Thursday. It drops, and this thing's going to be a monster. It's going to be filled with information. You're not going to want to miss it, okay? So we've got the family vids coming up. The big guy goes 2-0 last night, right at the top of my sheet here. Unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to our buddy Spencer Campbell, who had the under a goal and a half last night, Game 7, Sunrise, Florida. And, of course, we head to the first intermission, tied up at ones, and that's where we should start today. First off, we say hi to the big guy. Big guy, how you feeling?
USA. USA.
USA.
USA. Big day for America. Big day for streaks keeping going. We did do it, Jason. By the way, interesting that Tatum and Kachuk went to high school together. Now they're both world champs the same year. Look, we did it. It was a big night for the show. Bigger night for you guys than me. I did not have a skin in the game like you guys did. I can tell you, from when that first goal scored in that opening period for Florida, I jumped and yelled to the point where I thought my neighbors below me were either going to lose their ceiling fan or call the cops on me.
I did too. The Verhaeghe deflection was such a great goal.
It was beautiful.
Skinner, there was nothing he could do about that deflection. I got some green tea. I'm trying to get caffeinated.
Ooh.
I'm just going to tell you the mood right now. I'm spent. Like, tank is on E. I'm not even doing shtick right now. I was so, and obviously the group was buzzing. So just a little background for those just joining us. We, Halterman, myself, and of course Mike Somich, went heavy on the Panthers. The proclamation was that the Oilers were overrated because of the top two stars. They ended up being a much better team. I get that. So I obviously had the Dallas Stars beating the Oilers, and then once they didn't, I switched my allegiances to Sunrise, Florida, and the Florida Panthers, and it was excruciating. I mean, just a ride, right? You go up 3-0, you're lose three in a row. Now you're coming back home with all of the pressure. One of the greats of all time. Two greats, transcendent players in Draisaitl and McDavid. More on them to come, because obviously the Conn Smythe and that award was a big talking point in Game 7 last night, as the lines, I mean, just they were jumping all over the place. There's a good depiction. That was me taking on Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the whole city of Edmonton, from Dallas on to Florida. So, no shtick. I'm completely spent. And last night was a roller coaster of emotions, because you mentioned the start with Verhaeghe with the beautiful deflection, 4:27 into the game. And then, 2 minutes later, a beautiful outlet pass and a goal that I thought Bobrovsky on the breakaway probably should have had. But this isn't an opportunity, nor is it time to be crushing Bobrovsky, right? Because Bob rose to the occasion. He turned aside 23 of 24 shots, and specifically over the final period and a half when all the pressure was right there. He made big saves, timely saves. So Bobrovsky, and we'll get to the Conn Smythe voting. It wasn't really in the mix, as you'll see. But that was nuts. It just was nuts. We go to the first intermission tied up at once. It just felt like when Edmonton got that second goal. Excuse me. When Edmonton scored second and they got that tied up goal. When it's 1-1, I promise you, I was like, the Oilers are going to win this game. Because they got a beautiful, just throw it at the net with Verhaeghe with the deflection. But that was all skill coming back the other way from Edmonton. It just looked like a team, specifically the celebration, that was super confident.
Well, I texted you in the group chat during the game because I needed clarification. All the Oilers players looked really, really fast, and all the Florida players looked really, really slow. And there was a burst that came with Edmonton that had me very, very nervous because they clapped back. They answered that opening goal really early, really quickly, and I had a lot of reservations about Florida holding up the rest of the way. Loved the idea of a 1-0 lead after one, hated 1-1 after one. That terrified me because now Bob would be back on his heels, but credit to him. He made some crazy saves, especially late, to lift the Panthers and step up when he needed to.
Yeah, the big guy was, you know, he joined the group with the boys, Halterman, Samich, and myself. He joined the group because he really did get into the Stanley Cup final. So he was in the group, and it's tied up at 1-1. It's starting to get pretty stressful, and all of a sudden, the big guy jumps in the group and is like, hey, just a quick question. Why is Edmonton so much faster
than
the Panthers? And those were not the vibes we were looking for in the group, and I simply said, because they are, not now, right? This is all about locking down defensively, sucking up, obviously Bobrovsky stepping up, and look. I had this thought, and we can get to the odds over at DraftKings on next year's Stanley Cup, obviously already up as far as the futures. I had this thought, and I don't think if you're being objective about what I'm about to say, you could disagree with me. Football runs the United States, and I'm not talking about soccer. I'm talking about the sport of football. And it galvanizes this network. It galvanizes the betting space. That is both pro and college football. There is no denying the monster that the NFL is. However, if you were watching that game 7, didn't even think about hockey all year, and just turned that on, where even in Sunrise, Florida, 25 miles north of Miami, the energy in that arena is so palpable through the television. The ice is so lit up perfectly, and these dudes are giving everything. Again, the NFL is king. But if you're being objective and you watched that game last night, as far as thrill, as far as product, think about the Super Bowl this past year. I guess it was a pretty good game with Kansas City and San Francisco. Does it do anything as far as equaling the drama that we saw last night?
No.
Ask yourself. There is no freaking way, big guy.
Well, no. And then the whole playoffs as a whole for hockey, every year it delivers. Every year there's a chance for someone deep down the betting board in the preseason to make a run. There's a chance for a team deep down the betting board at the beginning of the postseason to make a run. The Florida Panthers, you could have gotten 20-1 to begin the year. Last year, the Golden Knights, 18-1. Like, you can take some shots from a betting perspective. I don't know if another sport quite offers what hockey offers you in that regard. But also, you want to go each game in a vacuum. The intensity is turned all the way up. There is a focus on everything happening that is just so different than every other sport. Because remember, we've got football, every play sets itself up. Then we go back to the huddle, and there's another play, it sets itself. Baseball, it's a pitch, and then he steps off, and there's a pitch, there's a bat, and so many pitches before the at-bat's over. Basketball is fun. There's a game of runs. There's an elegance. There's a power. There's a speed. There's a physicality that hockey offers that the other sports just can't bring you. And when you have it on the biggest stage with so much on the line, with the best trophy in all of sports up for grabs, it's really tough to beat. I am all the way back in on hockey. I have to remember this energy when the season starts next year.
Yeah, this is what happens. The Stanley Cup playoffs, those 2 months, it's so good.
It's so good.
That people that just tune in, and I'm talking rounds one through the Stanley Cup final, that people that just tune in, you know, most likely the two of us, you know, I'll catch 10, 12 games throughout the regular season, you know, and I'll have people that send me bets, but I'm not certainly sharp enough with the sport. But what happens is you watch the Stanley Cup playoffs, and then you start looking at your calendar, so like, when does the next season start? And it's just the inability to get hooked because so many options, but just the game flow, less stoppages. You talked about the NBA. I thought you framed that perfectly. The commercials in the Super Bowl, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And just the intensity, just all-out intensity in a Game 7 like last night. It is just unmatched. There's just no other way around.
No, and everything about last night feels like an opportunity to capitalize. I don't know how you do it with such a long break between now and next season, but it felt like, I'm not just speaking from my perspective, when I put on ESPN, when I put on Fox, when I tuned into sports radio stations that I check in on throughout the country, everyone was into the hockey. And I don't quite remember people caring that much outside of, you know, a few windows here and there. The casual sports fan was hooked. And that's how you know that something special, when you can get the people that don't generally care to lock in for your biggest games.
Yep. No, it's very well put. So the Panthers, we'll come back and set up the odds. But
yeah, I want to hear from Paul Maurice next.
I'm going to pick up the energy. I will, and you're going to hear from, obviously, the Panthers, Connor McDavid. I'm going to pick up the energy. But I'm not doing it. I am spent. That's it. Completely spent. And what is a franchise, and I want to get into it a little bit more, that had 25 years before and between playoff series wins, they just went from a punchline, literally sports punchline, the Florida Panthers, to champs. And that's what sports is all about. We're back. Sharp Money, DraftKings, and VSiN.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We bring in the GOAT of guests, and he is, of course, FTNFantasy.com's Network Chief Content Officer. Just a freaking superstar, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant on Twitter. We're going to get into the draft. Of course, the NBA Draft Progressive Guest Line brings you Mr. Randall. We're going to get into the draft, which is coming up tomorrow, and over at FTN Fantasy, you've got some good angles. I'll start here. Did you get into the hockey last night?
Oh, very much so. Was watching it. Son wanted me to play Clue last night. I told him we had to watch the third period. Very exciting. Loved it. Also loved, guys, that the under had hit at an incredible rate, so was not in the least bit shaken at the 1-1 score at the end of the first period. We doubled down. So it was a lucrative night, guys. Enjoyable night. And a great Game 7. Game 7 is always great.
You almost, if you're betting an under 5.5, you almost like that 1-1 after the first period, because then you know they just tighten up. And it's just all about taking advantage of one mistake. It's soccer's kind of the same way, where when you're total betting, have you gotten into the Euros at all in Copa America?
I have not. I'm actively planning a poker tournament at my house. So much like when you get a big lead early, you can do a little snare drum there, Patrick. I was snare drumming during the Game 7 last night. Once you know that it's a 5.5 and they score two early, just tighten up, guys. Keep icing. I have not gotten
John
into soccer.
John Bonham Randall over there with the snare. We love to hear it. Let's talk about the process of preparing over at FTN Fantasy for the NBA draft. And this is, in particular, an NBA draft that just doesn't have the names we're used to with so many Euros. Let's go over the process here.
The process is simple. You have to be a college hoops basketball junkie like myself, who sits up here in the East Coast praying for a Pepperdine game against St. Mary's. And you have to actually go and do some research, like you do at the NFL draft, about the prospects here from Europe and from overseas. So just because there's not the big name players, there are incredible betting opportunities. Because I'm telling you right now, Patrick, what people think is going to happen is not what's going to happen. The odds are not reflecting it because no one knows anything right now because everyone is so tight-lipped. So I go back to a couple of years ago when it was Banchero versus Jabari. You had Woj bombs all over the place. I think it's going to be a similar situation tomorrow night.
Okay, well, let's start with Stephon Castle, who's the champ UConn. and we'll talk about your bets. But also, I want you to project, because nobody watches more college hoops than you, project what the player will be in the pros. Let's start there. Stephon Castle, we know, a tremendous defender. What do you think Castle is going to be in the pros?
Yeah, the key to this is you can't get into paralysis by analysis, okay? I loved when people thought Grady Dick was going in the top 10, even though he's a weeble and he can't defend and can't do any of that stuff. And I loved when people were undervaluing Jordan Hawkins, who hit big three after big three. What you're looking for in this draft, guys, are players that can fit a certain style, that are chess pieces for teams. Stephon Castle, to me, people say he's Marcus Smart. Get out of here with that garbage, Marcus Smart. He's Drew Holiday. That's what he is. Ooh. 19 years old, 6'7", 6'9", wingspan. Started on UConn. Oh, by the way, national champions back-to-back. He was incredible. 21 points and 15 points in the last two matchups, so he can score against elite competition. And my favorite thing, he goes to the NBA Combine. They say he can't make threes. He puts up 18 of 25 in the three-point shooting drill. So he's a fast riser. 76% from the free throw line, great defender, 47% from the field, started to show his development, still only 19 years old. I know he's going top five. I think he's going top three, and I think he could end up being the best player in the draft. I see Drew Holiday for Stephon Castle.
That's tremendous. We just saw how great, and we've seen how great Drew Holiday, maybe the most underrated player in the league. So you've got Castle, third overall pick at 7-1.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I think it could even go higher. Guys, don't forget that the centers, the big players are drawing a lot of the attention. That's great. This isn't 1984. You can get a wing here in Castle who can defend, who can shoot, who can attack the basket, and is still extremely young. That is what NBA teams want. I believe in Castle. Sure, I think the big guys will go, but I think they're being overvalued here because people don't know. They default. I mean, I remember I watched the 1984 draft the other night on ESPN talking about Sam Bowie. You know, I mean, guys, it's not that level. I like Donovan Clingan. I like Alex Saar, but I think Castle and some of the guards are being underrated a little too much, and there's betting value.
So Stephon Castle, third overall pick, 7-1, and then Stephon Castle, top five, minus 150. Next up, FTNFantasy.com, Mike Randall. Next up, Jared McCain, he's going to go within the top 16, under 15.5.
Yeah, he has an elite skill, and that's what people have to understand. McCain is a shooter, a lights-out shooter. We've seen players like Okongwu with the Hawks. He went earlier than we thought because of interior defense. Corey Kispert, who was a shooter from Gonzaga, he went to the Wizards early. Sochan went to a top 10 as well because of his defensive prowess with Baylor, even though he couldn't shoot the ball in the ocean. And Jordan Hawkins, lights-out shooter. I compare McCain very favorably to Hawkins here. It's 15.5. I think he goes earlier. 41% from three-point range. Has the Duke lineage, which isn't bad. And oh, by the way, in the NCAA tournament, what did he shoot, Patrick? 16 of 32 from three-point range. That's 50%. That makes no sense. 8 of 11 from three-point range in the destruction of JMU. Oklahoma City, Portland, Sacramento all have had him in for workouts, and all of them go earlier than pick 16. I will take the under 15.5 here on Mr. McCain.
Mike, I want you to tell me, what do you think of the two Kentucky kids are going to be top 10 picks, Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham? What do you think about them projecting into the pros?
Yeah, I like them both. People, though, have to be a little careful with Reed Shepard. I know he's young and I know he's talented. He can shoot. I love him. I don't know if he's the automatic slam dunk top end star, but I think both of them have what all you can ask for with a prospect is sustained NBA success. I like Dillingham. I like Shepard. Shouldn't have come off the bench, by the way. Probably should have played more. Maybe Kentucky would have won a few more games. Like them both. I just don't know if Reed Shepard should be the first overall pick, like some people are putting out there as a rumor.
Next up, you've got a matchup here. Devin Carter picked before Dalton Knecht at plus 115.
Yeah, if Santiago Vescovi doesn't get hurt, or gets the flu rather, before Purdue, I still think they beat the Boilermakers. Dalton Knecht won me an excessive amount of money. Brilliant scorer, transfer from Northern Colorado, tremendous tall. However, Devin Carter is the real deal. Big East Player of the Year all around. 21 points per game, 8.7 rebounds per game, even though he's only standing 6'2". That's a guy who had 38% from three-point range, ended up having 12 double-doubles. 6'2", great with the blocks, great with the steals, hits big shots. So underrated, Devin Carter. Love him as a player. And right now they're putting Dalton Connect ahead of him. Who's going to go first? I like Devin Carter. Our mock from Zach Graham here at FTN has Devin Carter going eighth and Dalton Connect going 12th. I have no problem with Dalton Connect. I like Dalton Connect. Carter is a special player. Rebounds as a guard, steals, blocks, defense, makes three, check, 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 check. Devin Carter ahead of Dalton Connect. I like them both. Carter's a better two-way player.
Thoughts on Zach Edey?
I think Zach Edey's fine. He's not going to be your back-to-the-basket center. You know, if Walker Kessler, guys, didn't have a tremendous impact right away with Utah, why is Zach Edey? But I like him. He's serviceable. He's going to find his minutes. He's going to be a nice chess piece. If Jared McCain can be a chess piece shooting threes off the bench, then Zach Edey can be a chess piece as a big man. But I do think the game getting up and down is going to be a little tough for him. But again, guy who's going to have sustained NBA success, much like Okongwu, much like Walker Kessler.
The favorite, Mike, is the Rishashir. I cannot say his name. Zachary, mm-hmm. The kid from France. From what you've seen, just doing your studying, what do you see from him?
Yeah, a lot of development. He's very high. He made 38% of his threes in all his competitions. He can hit things off his screens, good off the bounce. He's good friends with Victor Wembanyama, so that's certainly not a negative. Yeah, I think he's another guy I haven't seen a lot, but everything I've read, he is the typical big that you want coming over from Europe who can score, who can do everything. I think it's a solid pick as well. A lot of success here at Europe. These players are getting more talented, and their skill development is ahead of a lot of the players who went to college.
And then we heard for a long time, most likely to go number one was Alexander Sarr. He's kind of fallen a little bit here. Do you have any thoughts on the player?
Yeah, I think Sarr's fine. He's certainly a better player than Zach Edey, a better developed player. Not great from three-point range, that's going to have to develop. And again, people have been spoiled by Victor Wembanyama. He wasn't great from three-point range, but got better, and his impact on the defensive end is obviously lights out. So I think Sarr is fine. I just think people compare to what they've seen in the past of a top pick, and he falls a little bit short. But let's remember Anthony Edwards, guys? He didn't like basketball. They questioned his motivation. When he came out, everything worked out. Again, I think Sarr is a solid player. Not spectacular, but solid.
Donovan Clingan. So an old school big. Do you attempt three-pointers in college, or maybe a handful? Project a Clingan.
Yeah, Clingan is really a perfect match for like a Clint Capela player. Capella's an expiring contract, not on the roster for long. I could see Atlanta going with him to replace him. Again, not the leading scorer, not the guy you're going to go to at crunch time, not that type of player, but certainly can be a starter, can sit there and supplement guard scores, things like that, be a nice pick and pop guy, develop his jumper. But you can't teach size. You can't teach the success. I'm fine with Clingan, again, as a chess piece and could be a starter here. I like him better than Sarr.
Randall, we are going to talk to you in August. You've got a big summer coming up with the family. I just want to say thank you for all the work you put in for us over these past few months. It's been more than a past few months, for a year. Thank you for everything. It's ftnfantasy.com for fantasy and your betting needs, at Randall Rant on Twitter. We appreciate you, buddy. Have a great summer.
Thanks, guys. Be back in August, refreshed and replenished and ready for greatness.
As always, you and the kids and the wife, be safe. There goes Mike Randall, ftnfantasy.com. He is a monster when it comes to the NFL. So as soon as we get back here in August, Mike Randall is going to be a part of the program. Just a great guy, and he sends the funniest text. He's a different cat. We'll get into the baseball next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSIN Pro. You get a free month, $199, so you get a discount. We've got the guide, NFL guide, dropping on Thursday, but to get it, you have to be a pro. VSIN.com/subscribe. To unlock the deal, use the promo code SHARP. We got you back here, Sharp Money. Going to go three up, three down. Just quickly in the Euros, I don't know what's up with this England team. You're in the 57th minute. And it's 0-0 against Slovenia. I mean, that is, what, 55 in the world in Slovenia? against England, who has the much more time. They just can't put it together. I don't know what that deal is. Denmark and Serbia tied up at nil as well. Okay, big guy, let's get to it. Baseball, 15 games today, three up, three down.
I mean, it's got to drive England crazy, though. Like, they create this sport, becomes a worldwide phenomenon, and then these random countries that, no offense, don't matter, can hang with them.
It really is incredible. They're freaking out over there right now.
All right. Let's begin here. Let's actually begin with 210, guys. Let's do 210. Sorry, I said the wrong number. In order to move forward, let's look back at last night. Garrett Crochet has transitioned from a lefty reliever with electric stuff to a starting pitcher despite having no professional experience as a starter at any level in the minors. And he is now firmly in the mix, Patrick, for AL Cy Young.
It's insane.
Over his last month, he has been so freaking dominant on a horrible team. So factor in that every single game, the margin's slim. He has to be so pinpoint accurate. And yet he's been so dominant. Over the last month, 36 and two-thirds innings pitched, 56 strikeouts in that span, a sub-2 ERA, five quality starts, 0.93 whip. I actually think the White Sox should trade him. Maximize this transition and how awesome he is and get a bunch of prospects to figure things out, because Garrett Crochet, his ceiling may not ever be this high. If it somehow gets better, I'd be shocked. But I went and bet him at 19-1 about 2 weeks ago for AL Cy Young. Over at DraftKings now, he is down to 9-1.
And Scooble's number is?
Plus 180. He goes today, and it's interesting with Scooble. I think we're going to get into him later on here in the segment, because Scooble's got a tough matchup, and we can do the Phillies one now here, because he's facing a Philadelphia Phillies team that across the board does really well against southpaws. So this lineup against lefties, they are fourth with a .278 batting average. They are third in OPS against lefties. They are second in home runs with 33, and they are first, the best in baseball, with 128 runs scored against lefties. You look up what your boy Scooble's done recently, Patrick. He's allowed four earned runs in back-to-back starts. So my thought a while ago was to fade him for Cy Young, and I think with this matchup here at plus 180, his number is going to have to get a little bit longer here unless he somehow shuts down this Phillies offense.
What I think is crazier is the respect in the market today,
yes,
for him. Now, again, I know it's in Detroit, but he's going against Suarez. And, you know, a $1.20, $1.17 favorite for the Phillies against a guy that's coming off two not great starts and a team that mashes lefties. I think it's still a lot of respect for Scooble in the market because, hello, the Detroit Tigers literally don't score.
Well, he's a dog, plus 102 dog over at DraftKings right now, Scooble. And I bet.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, I still think that's respect being shown to the Phillies.
He's plus 102. I laid it with the Phillies here. I just think because they have an offense, right? Someone's going to have to score in this game in a great pitcher's matchup. And you just can't trust the Tigers offense to get it done against Suarez. It's a fascinating watch with Scooble because here's a guy who, he's been injured a lot recently over the last few years. And I'm really curious because the pace is impossible to keep up, but how big is the regression for him? And also Detroit, who may not be playing for anything down the stretch, what do they do with him to protect him from himself? Because this is a guy that has not thown 150 innings ever in his career. His career high, 149 and a third back in 2021. So yeah, you almost have to take it out of his hands.
Yeah, that once we get into the summer is where he'll be measured because he hasn't thrown innings.
Which is why 100%. That's why I don't understand the number at plus 180. I know it's based on what he's done so far and all that, and that there's a chance that the Tigers let him play out the stretch of the season to win the award, but I think that would be very short-sighted. I just think you have to protect
the player.
They're
playing for nothing. They literally score one run a game.
I still think they should trade him too, but that's a bit of a tougher discussion than Garrett Crochet.
Next.
All right, the next one here, we'll go to Mitch Keller because there's a lot of hype with the pitching with the Pittsburgh Pirates right now. So Jared Jones burst on the scene first, and then we got Paul Skeens, and he's must-watch TV every day. But Mitch Keller, who got off to a bit of a bumpy start this year, for being fair, has really figured things out and righted the ship. He was the ace coming into the year, and over the last month, he has pitched like an ace. 25 innings, a 1.80 ERA, 31 strikeouts in those 25 innings, four quality starts. And this is why Pittsburgh is an intriguing team here down the stretch. Just because when you're going to trot out a trio of Keller, Skeens, and Jared Jones, it sets up great in a short series, but it also means that 3 out of every 5 days, they're going to be in every ball game. The only question is, will the offense do enough to help them out?
And Keller in Pittsburgh in Cincinnati tonight taking on Hunter Green.
It's a good matchup. Two young arms going head.
Very good
to
matchup.
Head.
Green is a $130 favorite over at DraftKings. Come back the other way with Keller, who Dustin just mentioned as an up at +110.
All right, now
next one.
This is the portion of the program where I become very annoying. We're going to go to the Mets, number 214, fellas, because the New York Mets are one of the most fun teams in baseball at the moment, and it's
very
weird.
Would you like to explain to a national audience the Grimace fascination?
Grimace throughout first pitch at a game. The Mets then reeled off 7 wins in a row after that. They've come back down to earth to a degree, but they did take a series from the Cubs over the weekend. So I want to say we're like 11-1 now with the record post-Grimace first pitch, somewhere around that, 10-1. The New York Mets are a fascinating team because they had a horrible, horrible schedule to start the year. But they still didn't play well against some bad teams as well. Like, that was part of the problem, was they just weren't figuring things out. My hope here as a Mets fan is David Stearns, who took over control as VP of Ops, who comes over from Milwaukee, where he's really, really great with analytics, that he just needed a little bit more data on some of the people he brought in to show them and get the most out of them. But the reality is it's the offense has stepped up. And there's a couple key pieces. Nimmo has been better as a catalyst. He was awful to start the year. J.D. Martinez, since he's gotten called up, has been awesome. And you can see a trickle down to the rest of the lineup, his impact in the middle. But also young guy Mark Vientos over at third is mashing the ball. And the Mets, over their last 5 games, are averaging over 5 runs. They have an .829 OPS. And the offense has stepped up to the plate big time. And the New York Mets have a great, great opportunity here to send a message against Garrett Cole and the Yankees tonight.
Yeah, big matchup between Cole and Peterson, the lefty for the Mets going. Let's see. The Yankees are a $142 favorite coming back, $120 on your Metsies. That's a big series.
2-game set. And I just think it's good for the Mets to test themselves against a team that is the class of the AL East right now. And then finally for 3 up, our last one here, we're going to look at the National League Rookie of the Year market. And I'm not going to say you should bet into markets where players are +325. And the favorite right now, Paul Skeens, is on an absolute tear. But I would say Jackson Merrill, young guy for the Padres who earned the job in spring training, he's finding his way at the plate. Things are slowing down. And over the last 2 weeks, he's hitting .326, 7 homers, 13 ribbies. He's really, really stepped up. And I look over at the NL Rookie of the Year market, and he's +450 for the award. And I think this is just worth noting because it's easier for hitters, it seems, to win these awards. The only issue is you're going against Paul Skeens, who is as must-watch TV as we've had in baseball since Ohtani showed up.
Isn't this a market that you and our next guest, Jonathan Von Tobel, have been battling about?
Well, we didn't battle about it. He has 30-1 on Paul Skeens. So
that's ridiculous.
It's a crazy great number. I was saying at a point where I thought Pittsburgh has a chance to be out of it down the stretch. That could happen, but they could be in the mix still with the way the wild card looked, that I was looking to fade him and more so Imanaga. And I thought the number on Imanaga at +675 was advantageous at the time. Didn't realize he was going to get hurt, obviously, but I thought, Yamamoto. Thought Yamamoto at +675 was a good number, and he'd be there at the end, but him getting injured has pretty much taken him out of the mix here.
Jackson Merrill, okay, Rookie of the Year. Good job, big guy. 3 up, 3 down, 15 games on tap.
Really 6 up there.
Major League Baseball.
6 up. We did 6 up.
You did 6 up.
Yeah, maybe we just stay in the positive. We call the segment 7 up.
Hey, I like that.
Heads up, 7 up.
By the way, for those that care, Euros right now, Denmark-Serbia, 68th minute, scoreless. England-Slovenia, 68th minute.
Yeah, dude, that's the thing about soccer. It's like a bunch of dudes in short shorts and knee-high socks, and you look up after an hour, and no one scored.
But FIFA, so these are the world rankings of clubs. England's 5. Slovenia's 57th.
Yikes. Yikes.
The United Kingdom is freaking out right now.
That's like the Chiefs being tied with Tulane.
It is quite fat. They were a 340 favorite. So lay 340 to win a dollar. So interesting. Jonathan Von Tobel's got a draft guide over at vsin.com, and he's been tinkering with it. He joins us next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on vsin, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, DraftKings. We welcome you back Tuesday, 25 of June. We had the NHL season wrap up with a great Game 7 last night as we welcome you back. Of course, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D's, hanging out with his podcast partner, VSIN's managing editor, Adam Burke. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. We're going to get into the guide, a lot of blood, sweat, and energy on your part and your team's part putting together the NFL guide, which drops on the 27th. So just 2 days from now, we'll get to that in just a second. But as we say hi to Adam Burke, we should ask about the Game 7 last night. It was a thriller. What did you take from it?
Yeah, it was. What's up, boys? Good to see you again here. Trying to bring the vibes with the shirt again. The MLB article did a little bit better here since I last spoke to you guys. Not that much
better. You went 3-0.
But a little bit. Well, on the show I did, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I should have had more picks for today and just played things I wasn't totally sure about. But, yeah, I mean, as far as last night goes, I mean, phenomenal game to be sure. Although Florida just in hang on and survive mode for basically the last 8-9 minutes of that game. And they were actually able to do it. Bobrovsky was really, really good last night. And, you know, I thought Paul Maurice – an incredible interview, multiple junctures after the game on Sportsnet, on ESPN, in his press conference. Good for him to get the Stanley Cup. Really, really happy for Kyle Okposo as well. I'm a Sabres fan. Guy went through a lot when he was playing with Buffalo, a lot of mental health issues. So really happy that Okposo was able to get his Stanley Cup. Also, they got it right with the MVP. Connor McDavid should have been the MVP. No questions asked. It's an award for the playoff MVP. And he was the best player in the playoffs. Did he score in Game 6 or Game 7? No, he didn't, but he's the reason why Edmonton got there. So I liked Florida for the series. Took longer than I thought, but they were able to hold on and win it, and McDavid was the right call for Conn Smythe.
Yeah, you said it. I think the Maurice after the Cup, and Maurice got started, what was he, 28 years old when he started coaching the Hartford Whalers at the time, so kind of a prodigy, but jumped from team to team. I would put his post-game comments right up there with any I've seen from any coach after winning a championship in any sport. He was as genuine and as awesome with the quotes. He's always been a great quote, but yesterday was very special.
Yeah, I thought it was super cool when he looked into the camera, and this was on his Sportsnet interview, you know, back to his family in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and, you know, told his dad, hey, Dad, you know, your name is on the Stanley Cup now next to your heroes, and rattles off his players. And frankly, even getting a little bit choked up talking about it. I never met Paul Maurice, don't know his family, but it's just one of those moments that's like super cool for a guy who has put a lot of time and effort into the game. So, you know, you're always going to have some of those stories when a team wins a championship, but, you know, I thought there were a few guys on Florida's team last night it was pretty special for.
Yeah, it was awesome. We actually, you know what, big guy, if you want to pull up that clip again, just the one that Adam just referenced, I think it might be worth playing. Before we grab that, I didn't know you were a Sabres fan. What's the connection there?
Yeah, so when I was growing up in high school, you know, this was before the Blue Jackets had a team because the Jackets came in 2000. We had Adelphia Cable. So we got cable out of Western New York, and we wound up getting Buffalo Sabres games on the Empire Sports Network. And honestly, it's really weird because, you know, I would watch the pre- and post-game shows, and I learned a lot about hockey from watching Mike Robitaille and Brian Blessing. And then, of course, I get to work with Brian Blessing, you know, in my sports betting career, and, you know, a guy who passed away a few years ago but had a tremendous impact on my career but also in my fandom as, you know, a Buffalo Sabres fan. So it was kind of surreal to be able to work alongside him, but that's how I became a Sabres fan. I mean, they were my team growing up in high school, and because I'm a loyal idiot, I like to root for teams that come really close and don't actually win things. So it just makes sense to continue being a Buffalo Sabres fan.
So Alex McGillney, LaFontaine, Hasek, like who was your go-to guy back then?
Yeah, Hasek was definitely one. I mean, I was kind of in the Angry Goat Head era when they were wearing the red and black. So, you know, a lot of guys, Dmitry Kalinin type of guys, Aleš Kotelik. Stu Barnes, you know, in that kind of era
Stu
there.
Stu Barnes.
So, you know, I'm still a Sabres fan. I mean, obviously I don't watch them like I did growing up, but, you know, still keep a close eye on the team. And you know, I think they'll be a playoff team next year. I just don't know how deep they'll actually go.
Some would say Dominic Hasek a Red Wing, but that would just be me because I'm an idiot.
To be fair, growing like in grade school, I was a Red Wings fan until I got Adelphia, and then I could watch the Sabres. So, you know, I went from kind of being something of a front runner in the 90s where they won a bunch of cups to being a Sabres fan where they haven't won one.
Also, you probably a Red Wings fan. They were great during those two decades, but also just the greatest sweaters in sports. I mean, everybody would agree, right?
With and I mean, look, it was, you know, an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes from Cleveland to Detroit. So, you know, eat at the Hockey Town Cafe there in downtown.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, I actually never got to go to a game at Joe Louis Arena, but definitely walked around it quite a few times.
So, wait, who, what's it? You're willing to support a Detroit team. I thought everyone in the all those cities hate each other. Like, what's the big rival? Like, is it Cincinnati and Cleveland? Is there another one?
I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, I would have been 8, 9, 10 years old at the time. So I wasn't fully understanding of why I was supposed to hate the state of Michigan. Now I can't stand it. So, you know, now I've kind of come full circle with that at least. But, I mean, like, the Red Wings, they were always on, right? And I was a kid who played hockey. I mean, whenever I created myself in NHL 98 or 97 or whatever, I was a creative player on the Red Wings. So, yeah, I mean, look, in terms of geography, proximity, viewability, you know, they were on all the time. So that was kind of the team that I had to go with.
Yeah, the Joe, which you referenced, Joe Louis Arena, which was one of the great barns. I used to go there, and you would actually have rats running around, like all over the place, rats, literal rats. So anyway, that's the Joe. Paul Maurice, Adam, you just referenced him, and this is a great hit with the Canadian network. Big guy, let's roll it.
Yeah, this was him winning the cup.
This is brilliant, right? I've never hugged so many sweaty men in my entire life. I'm not sure I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to do it tonight. So, you know what? It's not what I thought it would be. It's so much better, but it's the hugs, man. I saw Sam Bennett smile today, first time in 2 years. It's brilliant. You know, it's for my mom and dad in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, my brothers Mike and Shane in Sault Ste. Marie and Waterloo, the whole Langlois clan in LaSalle, Ontario, all of the people that suffered through 30 years of me losing, making excuses, mom and dad especially. Hey, Dad, your name's going up with your heroes. Beliveau, Richard, Powell, Lindsay, Maurice.
What a freaking clip. He is such composure as well. My gosh, that's a tremendous clip. Good job by everybody.
I still don't understand. Right. I don't understand how you process something so big in the moment and then explain it so well in the moment. I don't know.
Yeah, very well done. I enjoyed that. So, coming up on Thursday, we've got a very special day here on VSiN, and we're going to have all football all day experts, including Adam Burke and picks, and it's all going to be tied to the guide. So let's start with the flowers. Congratulations. I know this is a process that we couldn't even imagine. Let's talk about putting the guide together, Adam.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but, you know, I mean, this is a signature publication for us here at VSiN. It's one of our main drivers in terms of becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber, which I encourage everybody to do. Not only do you get this NFL guide that comes out on Thursday, but you also get all kinds of picks, access to the DraftKings betting splits, everything that we do for as long as you want to hang around. There are monthly options, there are annual options to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. But this guide specifically, I mean, everybody has a hand in it, basically. You know, all of our hosts submit their favorite best bets. Our writers obviously have a big hand in it. Our editors, Michael Dolan, Mike Sansoni, my right-hand man, Zachary Cohen, our guide editor, Matt Devine, James Coleman, who creates all of our graphic stuff a lot of our graphic stuff and marketing stuff here. A lot of people, a lot of responsibilities, a lot of roles, but everybody comes together because we care about the product that we're putting out. This is a very important publication for us, and I think we did one hell of a job with it. It's not completely done just yet, but it will be by Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Looking forward to seeing that finished product. But, yeah, I just got to give a shout-out to my team that everybody did such a great job putting this thing together. And no rest for the wicked because we got the college football betting guide coming out August 1st.
You're going to deflect and give everyone else credit, but if I'm not mistaken, putting this out in the spring was your idea a year ago, and it went so well that we have to do it again.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, you know, I think it's important, right, to be able to hit some of these preseason markets. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that you can bet on already. And, you know, the time that we were previously putting the guide out, it would be training camp. You know, a lot of these markets would be moving. A lot of people would already be finding out a lot of things about these teams or remembering who went where or whatever else. So we thought it was really important for us to not only have something for our subscribers to have over the summer and also get people to find out what VSiN's all about before we get into the football season, but especially to be able to attack these off-season markets where there's a lot of stuff you can bet on, boys. Win totals, all the lines are out at DraftKings for every week of the season. You've got awards markets that are worth jumping into. So that was our primary goal. We wanted to make sure that we put something out in time for people to attack those markets, to remember, you know, who was signed in free agency, who was traded, who are the new head coaches, who are the new quarterbacks, all of that. And by doing so here this last week of June, gives you a head start over a lot of our competitors and a lot of the places are going to be talking about these things.
How does this year's guide differ, if at all, from last year's guide?
Yeah, I mean, I think every year, you know, we get a little bit better with it. We figure out, you know, in terms of looking at traffic, in terms of looking at user behavior, in terms of feedback from our subscribers, you know, what are the things that we need to incorporate a little bit more of? And I mentioned this before, you know, we're going to focus more on prop betting for this upcoming NFL season as a whole. But Matt Williams, a new contributor to VSiN.com, he's got a piece in there about his favorite prop betting strategies. And, you know, look, I mean, I think that we really – what we wanted to do with this guide is really allow people to, again, figure out who's gone where and what the expectations are going to be. So I think it is a little bit more predictive. It is a little bit more data heavy. It is going to be something that is going to show you teams that are in line for maybe some positive or negative regression. I think just some of the themes that we're paying more attention to this season are going to have a lot more impact on handicapping these markets.
Well, congratulations to you and the whole team. You got to become a VSiN Pro if you want to grab the NFL guide, which is dropping in 2 days, this Thursday, the 27th. So to do so, go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. And as Adam mentioned, we're coming out early with our college football betting guide, which is going to be, what'd you say, August 1st?
August 1st.
Woo. Woo. A lot of work over the month of July. Adam Burke, we continue, of course. Double Play is the podcast with Adam and Dustin. We'll come back and talk a little baseball. Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the Esports Betting Network.